It is my great pleasure to announce that the 2023 Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels from Louisiana State University.
Thank you. This is a dream come true. I want to first give thanks to God, you know, for all the glory. He's my rock, my savior. He blessed me with the talents and ability to get here, all the special people here to develop these skills. To Bo, Mike, and Marvin, you guys are amazing. I enjoy watching y'all, but the competition is never over. I look forward to seeing you guys on Sundays. I'd like to start to thank with a few thank yous. I learned from previous winners, the first lesson is becoming a great quarterback. You got to thank your O-line first. Thank you guys for getting me here today in one piece. I know it wasn't easy. You know, I scramble around a lot, but you know, I love you guys. To Coach Kelly, Coach Frank, Coach Denbrock, and Coach Sloan, and the rest of the LSU football staff, thank you for trusting me to lead your team. I learned so much from you guys. You took a kid from the West Coast and brought me back down to the Bayou. I'm forever thankful. I want to thank to every single LSU fan for having my back. I never seen fans pouring their hearts into a team like LSU. I really wish I could have brought you back another championship, but that was my plan. But you know, God has other plans for me. And when you get knocked down, get back up, keep smiling, and never give up on your dreams. And I want to end a special thank you to Greg Brooks Jr. and his family. You gave me inspiration to continue on this journey of greatness and keep fighting. Thank you.
All right, that audio courtesy of ESPN and the Walt Disney Company. That's your 2023 Heisman Trophy winner out of Louisiana State University, the LSU Fighting Tigers quarterback, Jaden Daniels. And it was just 4 years ago that the university celebrated a Heisman Trophy winner, a quarterback named Joe Burrow. Now 4 years later in 2023, Jaden Daniels represents the Fighting Tigers out of Baton Rouge. And, of course, you heard him thank the other fellow Heisman Trophy candidates, Bo Nix from Oregon, Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, and Michael Penix Jr. from the University of Washington. He also thanked Coach Brian Kelly, also his offensive coordinator, also his offensive lineman, and most of all, he got inspiration from teammate Greg Brooks, who's been having his health challenges as of recent, dealing with brain cancer, and driving inspiration from him. And to talk more about Jaden winning this year's Heisman Trophy, as well as the other Heisman candidates. And also we look at this year's college football playoff. Again, I'm Matt Robinson, and we welcome you to College Football Playoff Focus. And we have him back on the program, always giving us great insight on college football. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Habersreiter. Yo, E, what's going on, my man?
What's up, Ed, man? Great to be on the show. Great to be back talking some football and especially talking the playoff for college football.
Oh, yeah, man. You know it's going to be one heck of a college football playoff. We got a lot to talk about that, but let's talk about the Heisman ceremony for a moment. LSU has another Heisman Trophy winner. He's a quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Give me your thoughts on Jaden winning this year's Heisman.
I'll be honest. I didn't see it coming at all. I think for the longest, well, for the first part of the season, it was still Caleb Williams, I think, the favorite. Then all of a sudden, Michael Penix Jr.'s name started popping into the college football world, and Bo Nix, and of course, Marvin Harrison started off slow, and he started catching momentum, and I really didn't hear much about Jalen Daniels for probably the last month of the season, and it was crazy how he just popped on the scene like he did. You know, another transfer goes on to win a Heisman. So we want to talk about this transfer portal thing. But at the end of the day, he earned it. He played some crazy numbers. I mean, he put up 50 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards rushing. So, but I thought it was still a close race all the way till they announced the name. I still wasn't 100% sure he would win. I thought it might have been Michael Penix Jr., but he came away with the win, and like you said, 4 years ago, Joe Burrow did it. In the 1958, I think it was, Billy Cannon did it. Now you got Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, so now the LSU has three Heisman Trophy winners, as you mentioned, Billy Cannon, Joe Burrow, and now Jaden Daniels. I want to stay just with LSU and Jaden just for a moment. The last Heisman Trophy winner, we mentioned him, Joe Burrow. And we know that year, Eric, he put up monster numbers. And, of course, LSU went on to win the national championship along with Burrow and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And, of course, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Patrick Queen, just to name a few. But in your opinion, what are the differences, aside from the year that Burrow won the national championship and the Heisman, what are the differences, in your opinion, between Jaden and Joe in the Heisman Trophy race?
I think the main difference, I think, is what Jalen Daniels could do with his legs. I know Burrow, he can make some things happen himself, but Jalen Daniels has another speed that a lot of people may not see until you see it. You know, when someone's coming to tackle him, he puts into another gear and he's gone. I mean, he had, I think, 4 touchdown runs this year over 50 yards. That's running back type numbers. You know, that's Barry Sanders type stuff back when he won the Heisman in 88 for Oklahoma State. But Jalen Daniels, yeah, I just think his running, no doubt, is a higher level than Joe Burrow. I think Burrow's arm's a little stronger, but I think, I don't know about in college aspects, I think Jalen Daniels sees the field a little better. You know, I think he's a little better, I wouldn't say 100% better in the pocket. I think he can move around a lot better in the pocket. But once you get him past the line of scrimmage and past the linebackers, you're not going to catch Jalen Daniels. But Joe Burrow, he had a great touch on the ball, and he also scrambled when he needed to. He knew how to extend plays. So, yeah, they're both pretty gifted. And I love to see them battle it out on Sunday one day.
Yeah, it's definitely going to happen. It's definitely going to be in the not-too-distant future. We'll see not only Burrow. Well, we're seeing Burrow, but we're definitely going to see Jaden Daniels on Sunday. And, Eric, you talked about Jaden Daniels. You would have least expected him to win the Heisman, and I was like that to a certain extent. We had talked about this, and you mentioned Bo Nix and Marvin Harrison Jr. I thought Michael Penix Jr. would come away winning the Heisman Trophy. But Jaden Daniels is somebody that he put up monster numbers, but he did it. It was kind of like slowly but surely. He went up like on a peak. And boy, he set monster numbers. He created, not created, but what I should say is that he put up major statistics, not just throwing, but running the ball. Eric, I got to ask you this. We know college football is very loyal. College football is very regional, and people, as they say, they charge it to the game, or they stick to the script in terms of who they support, their teams, the mascots, booster clubs, and all of this other stuff. Michael Penix Jr. was on national television. He had some big national games. We know about Marvin Harrison Jr. We know about Bo Nix. Jaden Daniels didn't have a lot of nationally televised games. I mean, he was on cable, but he just didn't have any big nationally televised games. What do you think got him over the hump as opposed to the other candidates?
Well, that's a good question. And you also got to look at how many games LSU lost this year. I think they lost 3 games, I believe. You know, Michael Penix, undefeated, you know, 13-0, went on to win the game to get to the playoffs and against Oregon and the other Heisman candidate in Bo Nix. And I really didn't hear a lot of Jalen Daniels. Was the quiet storm, I would say, this year. He was doing great things, but I guess because of the platform that Caleb Williams, I know he didn't even go to the invite. He wasn't invited. But for a good part of the year, you had Caleb Williams. You even had Shedeur Sanders. You had then Marvin Harrison's name, Jr., started creeping into the scene. Then Michael Penix, Jr., then, you know, and you never really heard Jalen Daniels, like I said, to the end of the year. And it's just, I didn't really see a lot of LSU games on TV. I watched a lot of Oregon games this year, a lot of Colorado games. I seen a good bit of Washington, but, man, it's just crazy how he just came into the scene, and his numbers, you can't be denied. But I think the reason why I didn't really think he was going to get it was because of the win to losses. You know, you don't really see a Heisman winner quarterback with more than 2 losses. But I guess that's how special this season was, because he won the Heisman.
Yeah, indeed it was. Indeed it was a special year. It's just one of the things that caught my eye because, again, you mentioned about you didn't watch a lot of LSU games, and LSU games were primarily on cable and regional networks. The only big national games that they had, if I'm not mistaken, was the Florida State game and the Alabama game. But we saw a lot of Pennix and a lot of Bo Nix, and of course Marvin Harrison. They had like big time nationally televised games. And you mentioned Oregon undefeated, Ohio State losing a game. Oregon wound up losing two games. So Washington's undefeated. So LSU losing three games. So that was just interesting to me right there. And I want to stay just kind of like what we talked about earlier about just how college football has always been loyal and very regional. The Midwest, we know, is Michigan, Michigan State, and then you have Ohio State. The West Coast, primarily Washington. And then you have also the Pacific Northwest is Washington, and you got Oregon. LSU, SEC country. We know how that rolls, Louisiana, parts of Texas, so on and so forth. Do you think regional bias, do you think it was a matter in Jaden winning the vote, or do you think the whole nation was rallying around him to win the Heisman?
I'll probably say the whole nation rallied around. And something I wanted to say, you said that LSU televised game against Florida State and Alabama, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And they lost both those games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's got me so thrown off with this Heisman this year, because I thought for sure Michael Penix gotten it, being undefeated. And the only two big televised games, Alabama and Florida State, LSU had, they lost them both. So I guess they might be approaching this differently now and giving the Heisman to who they think is the best player, regardless of record. Because if you go by record and accolades and big-time wins, because, you know, Michael Penix Jr. knocked off Bo Nix twice on televised games, and two really good games. So it's probably just nationwide. Everybody just, I guess, casted their votes. I don't know how they vote or how you become a Heisman Trophy voter. I guess maybe you had to be a Heisman Trophy winner in the past as well, and you might get a vote. I don't know if it works like that, but he got a lot of votes. And Michael Penix came in second, and it wasn't too far off, but he was off, I think, a couple hundred votes. But everybody voted for Jalen Daniels. I guess they like what they saw, and they like his production. So you got the Heisman.
Yeah, we do have the Heisman. Eric, I'm looking at the total votes right here. Jaden Daniels, of course, total votes 2,029. Michael Penix Jr., 1,701. And then we had Bo Nix, 885 votes. And then Marvin Harrison Jr. rounded out with 352. So as they say, the people spoke, the voters, as you said, Eric, they thought Jaden was the right one for it, and he's our Heisman Trophy winner. Before we go into the playoff, I pulled up something here, Eric, and we talked about primetime games and LSU and so on and so forth. Do you know what was the most watched regular season college football game this year?
LSU-Alabama?
Mm-mm.
Oregon-Washington?
No.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know that one.
Ohio State and Michigan.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was thinking about between the Heisman Trophy winners. Okay, yeah, no doubt. That's probably the most watched game every year. And, yeah, well, you did have a Heisman candidate in there in Marvin Harrison Jr., but, yeah, I could see definitely why that would be.
Yep, Ohio State and Michigan was the most watched regular season game this year. Then we had Colorado and Oregon was number two, and then Ohio State and Notre Dame was number three. Penn State and Ohio State was number four. Now you mentioned LSU. LSU and Alabama was the ninth most watched regular season game this year. And then LSU and Florida State was six. So,
and I'm gonna go out on a limb and say next year, Ohio State, Michigan is probably going to do it again. They're probably going to be the most watched game again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a fun game to watch.
Oh, yeah, bro. It's been a fun game for, like, decades, bro. The games just get better and better, and certainly just want to just pass that information on to our listeners out there. But Jaden Daniels, our 2023 Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU, and certainly, Eric, you mentioned LSU took advantage of the transfer portal, him coming from Arizona State, making his mark with LSU in his second year as the Tiger starting quarterback, wins the Heisman. So now we took care of the Heisman. Now, Eric, we got some, the Heisman, big fish to fry, right? College football playoff, we got bigger fish to fry. So on New Year's Day, right, we've got Alabama, Michigan, and the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. Then we got Texas and Washington and the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. Let's start off with the Sugar Bowl for a moment in New Orleans between Texas and Washington. It's all about the quarterbacks, right? We got Quinn Ewers and Michael Penix Jr. Just give me your thoughts on what you got, what you see playing for the Sugar Bowl.
There's going to be a lot of fireworks in this one. I mean, but also both of these teams also play pretty well defense. But I think these offenses, they're really going to showcase the talent that these offenses have. I think Michael Penix has a really good receiving core. He's got, I think his name, Uze. I guess I might be off a little bit with his name, but this dude is an NFL caliber receiver. And the thing about Texas, Quinn Ewers, man, he always seems to get hurt, man, and it kind of makes you wonder if he gets knocked out this game, will New Orleans' own Arch Manning come in this game in the dome, place that his uncles played in, a place his grandpa played in for 10 years with the, well, not say 10 years because it opened in 75, but, you know, his dad, Archie Manning, did a lot of great things in that dome. So it's going to be a wild crowd, and I'm going to go Washington thinking, but it's a toss-up, and this is going to be a very competitive game. Whoever makes the less mistakes is most likely going to win. You got to be on top of your game here. This is win, go to the championship. This is the best against the best, and I think this game is going to set off this playoff, because this is it after this year. There's no more 4-team playoff. So we get these 4 teams. Next year we get spoiled with a 12-team playoff. But right here, this is it. You win, you move on to the championship. It ain't move on to the next round or the semifinal. This is it. You win, you win the championship. So you got to play your A game, and I think we're going to see a lot of fireworks in this game.
Yeah, bro, I think this is going to be the show stealer on New Year's Day, bro. Washington and Texas, Sugar Bowl, New Orleans. I mean, what more could you ask for, right? And the receiver that you were talking about with Washington, Rome Odunze, bro, he has had one heck of a year. And him and Michael Penix Jr., they've been like hand in glove almost, bro. And I think this is going to be an exciting game. It's interesting because we know Washington, they love passing the ball. Texas loves passing the ball. But Texas, they have that running game, bro. So it's going to be interesting what happens in New Orleans on New Year's Day with Washington and Texas in the Sugar Bowl. Let's talk now about the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. We got the number one team in the country, Michigan, going up against the number 4 team, Alabama. Bro, who would have thought, bro, in the middle of October, Alabama playing in the college football playoff, the chances were slim to none, bro, but they had a lot of help. They beat Georgia. They beat LSU. And, and of course, unfortunately, Florida State got left out. But, hey, it's Alabama. It's Michigan. Give me your thoughts on these 2 teams in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, either one of these could have been the number one seed. Either one of these 4 teams could have been. But the thing with Alabama, like you said, at one point, they wouldn't even thought about for the playoffs. You know, they benched Jalen Monroe, and then Jalen Monroe comes back after being benched the next game, and he has not stopped. I mean, he's been playing lights out. Unbelievable how he's been playing. Then, of course, they knock off Georgia, the number one team, 39 straight victories, and they knock Georgia off and stun the world and pretty much beat up on Georgia pretty good in that game. So they definitely earned their spot. I know Florida got left out, but SEC champion, beat the number one seed, beat the two-time defending champion. You got to put Alabama in. Got to. Then you look at Michigan. Man, Jim Harbaugh's got that team playing great defense, some of the best defense I've seen, 85 Bears type defense. I'm being just they're that good. They're a good defense. They cause turnovers, they stop the run, and they make your quarterback make mistakes. And this is going to be a chess match here. It's going to be, can Jalen Monroe not make that mistake? And could he not turn the ball over? And he may have to use his legs a lot in this game. But on the other side, you got J.J. McCarthy. That's the only knock I have against Michigan. I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy's not a good quarterback. I just think out of this whole playoff, he's the most inconsistent quarterback. I mean, they win, like I said, on a lot of good defense and good running. They run the ball very well. But if you look at some of the games, J.J. McCarthy, man, he misses a lot of throws. He overthrows some throws. He don't see some of the checkdowns, but they always have other great plays happen to cover for that. You can't do that against Alabama. So, man, this is going to be a chess match here. This is going to be an insane game. I mean, this could easily have been the national championship game, you know. Michigan, Alabama, a lot of greatness here. A lot of Heisman Trophy winners through the years. So I'm definitely going to be tuning in, and this is going to be a crazy game. It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game, too. We talked about the quarterbacks with Washington and Texas with Michael Penix Jr. and Quinn Ewers. And, of course, we have the quarterbacks. You mentioned Jalen Milroe for Alabama and J.J. McCarthy for Michigan. I want to ask you about a running back for Michigan named Blake Corum. We know Alabama's defense has been pretty good this year. How do you think Michigan's running game is going to fare against Alabama's defense?
I know Alabama better be ready to stop the run, because Corum is not a joke. He's one of the greatest running backs, in my opinion, to play in Michigan. He is a touchdown machine. I think he set the record this year for most rushing touchdowns in a single season for Michigan. I think something like 22 or something. Very good running back, but a lot of people don't realize he could also catch out the backfield. I've seen him, every game I've watched, I've seen him catch. I'm not going to say he's putting up Marshall Faulk, Alvin Kamara receptions a game, but when they throw it to him, he catches it. He don't drop it. So that could be something they might do in this game, because they don't do it a lot, but they do it somewhat, and he catches it. They might decide, you know what, we're going to throw it to call him out the backfield a little bit more, something they don't expect, because he's a good receiver out the backfield. And like I said, he can run between the tackles, and usually the first man don't take him down. So they're going to have to rally to the ball and stop him. If not, he's going to make Alabama's night very long.
Yeah, man, it's definitely going to be a challenge right there. We know Blake Corum, he's a north and south runner, but Alabama, they've got the studs on the defensive side, so definitely is going to be a challenge on New Year's Day in Pasadena, California, with the Rose Bowl between Michigan and Alabama. All right, Eric, let's start off with the Rose Bowl, Michigan and Alabama. Who do you think wins and why?
Ooh, man, I'm going to go Alabama. I just think they're more of a well-rounded team. I think they have a good defense. I'm not saying their defense is as good as Michigan, but I think they're good. Their defense is good enough to make J.J. McCarthy make the mistakes. And I like Jalen at quarterback. I think his legs are going to save them a lot. So I'm going Alabama. I'm not saying it's going to be a four-quarter game. It's probably going to come down to whoever has the ball last. And I think at the end of the game, Alabama's going to get the ball last. And I think kick a field goal, I'm going to say 31-28, Alabama moves on to the championship.
All right, let's move over now to the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans with Washington and Texas. Who wins and why?
I'm going to say Washington, man. They're so good when it comes to third down conversions, man. If you look at their percentage on third down conversions, and a lot of the times if it's third and five, they're getting 20. 15 yards on a conversion. It's like, how someone be that open? That's called technique, and that's called putting in the right play at the right time. I think Texas secondary at times is a little suspect. And Quinn Ewers also, I always say nothing against Brett Favre. I think Brett Favre is no doubt one of the greatest quarterbacks ever played a game. But he's the type of person that he don't care. 3-on-1, I'm throwing it. Interception. You know, look what he did against the Saints with Minnesota in the NFC Championship game. He tried to throw across his body. Tracy Porter picks it off. That's what I'm saying about Quinn Ewers. He's that type of quarterback where he's going to make mistakes, man. But he's going to make plays, but he's going to make – and these mistakes going to cost him against Washington. Can't turn the ball over. Got to convert. And a lot of the times, I just think he tries to make all the throws, and sometimes I think he gets greedy on a, you know, like a 2nd-and-1. He's going to try to throw it 30 yards down the field and interception or get – as he goes to throw, hit fumble. So – it's going to come down to good quarterback play from Quinn Ewers, but I just think Michael Penix and Washington, they have yet to lose this year. They got a lot of confidence, a lot of great players. I got Washington, and I'm going to say I'll say the score in this game. You're looking at 35-24, Washington.
All right, solid. And now my picks, I think, as far as the Rose Bowl is going to be concerned, I think Alabama and Michigan, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, but I like Alabama to win. I'm going to go 24-14. I think Michigan's going to have their way early on, but I think Nick Saban is going to lay the hammer down second half, and Jalen Milroe is going to use his feet, and he's going to use his arm. So I like Alabama to win 24-14. I think Sugar Bowl, as I stated earlier, in New Orleans, I think Washington and Texas is going to be the show stealer, but Michael Penix Jr., he's got another comeback in him. This is going to be a high-scoring game. I like Washington to win 37-34. So we both like Alabama and we both like Washington, and that's who we think is going to be playing in the BCS National Championship game. So, Eric, this is the last year of the 4-team playoff. You mentioned it earlier. Next year is going to be the 12-team playoff. Just kind of give me your thoughts on what we can expect for the 12-team playoff. Do you like it? Do you see schools from smaller conferences could be playing maybe in the college foot, the Final Four in the future?
If these schools could get ranked, you know, at least in the top 15, and I'm loving it. For a few different reasons, and I'm gonna give you a couple. For one, Florida State would get in. It'd be 12 teams. Then, of course, the way Jalen Daniels was playing the last month of the season, you might not want to see LSU. They would have gotten in. Ohio State would have gotten in. So Oregon might have gotten in. Notre Dame might have slid in there. So with all that. Oh, anything could happen, you know. Anybody could go on a run, and when you get hot, you get hot. So I'm going to enjoy this 4-game playoff this year. It looks amazing. But next year's playoff, that's true. It's going to be a all-out brawl because teams that got snubbed the last few years, like if you remember a couple of years back, Ohio State got snubbed. And everybody was kind of upset. Now it's Florida State. They all upset. Well, next year, like I said, Florida State would get in. And like I said, Heisman Trophy winner, Jalen Milroe and LSU, playing some good football down the road, you know, as end of the season. They might have slid in there too. So, yeah, I'm loving the 12-team playoff. I hope they don't go no more than that. I think 12 is enough. And I think that's going to give a great run for a championship. And you could really say world champs because – no matter who wins this year, somebody's going to say, well, if Florida State would have got in, they wouldn't have won. Or if LSU would have got in, or if Ohio State, well, next year all those questions will be answered because all of them will get in if they play the way they played this season. But they're not in this year. This year you see who we got. We got Washington, Texas, Alabama, Michigan, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl. We're going to rock this 4 games. And next year it's going to be the 12 team. And then I'm liking that. And I said it. Years back, I always thought they should expand to that, and they are. And I'm ready. I'm ready to see it. But I'm also ready for this year's playoff, too. I think this is probably the most competitive playoff I've seen in a while, and anybody could win it. We've got our picks. That's just, you know, who we think could win. But at the end of the day, it's whoever performs, whoever plays consistent is going to win the games. And, man, this is exciting. I can't wait for January 1st.
I can't wait either. And you know what, Eric, for years we had been talking about they need to expand the playoff. They need to expand from 4 to maybe 8. Well, guess what? Next year, they're going to go from 4 to 12. So, hey, now let's see what happens now because, you know, as we talked up, you mentioned about Ohio State getting snubbed several years ago. I remember you remember Oregon got snubbed a couple of years ago as well. We saw it this year with Florida State. But now, man, all that's going to be put to rest starting next year. But right now, man, like you said, we got a great four. We got a great Final Four in the college football playoff. It's exciting with the Rose Bowl, Michigan and Alabama, Sugar Bowl, Washington and Texas. Eric, any final thoughts you have on whether it be with the college football playoff or the Heisman or anything you want to, you know, have on your mind?
I just want to say, man, it was a great college season. It's kind of crazy that Saturday's no college football this weekend. Last weekend you had the last, what, Navy and Army? This upcoming Saturday, no college football. And got some NFL, but no college, man. It went by so fast. So I'm appreciating it a lot better when these bowl games start up. And I'm going to watch every bowl game I could watch and watch that championship game and see what happens with this transfer portal, see who's staying. I think Marvin Harrison is staying in Ohio State. In my opinion, I think he's going to stay. So this time next year, we're going to be talking 12-team playoff, and it's anybody's game then. So, but, yeah, great year. Just looking forward to the championship games now. January 1st can't get here soon enough.
Bruh, you mentioned the transfer portal, and the NIL, bruh, changed everything in college football, man. And definitely the transfer portal is already heating up, man. And Eric, again, as always, thank you so much, my man. We definitely got to do this again, man. Thanks again. If you ever you want to come back up, just feel free to let us know.
Thanks for having me, man. Awesome.
No doubt. And that's going to do it for this edition of College Football Playoff Focus. He's Eric Habersreiniger. I'm Ed Robinson saying so long. And we're going to leave you now once again with this audio courtesy of ESPN and the Walt Disney Company. Jaden Daniels, quarterback for LSU, winning the 2023 Heisman Trophy. Until next time, everybody, so long.
It is my great pleasure to announce that the 2023 Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels from Louisiana State University.
Thank you. This is a dream come true. I want to first give thanks to God, you know, for all the glory. He's my rock, my savior. He blessed me with the talents and ability to get here, all the special people here to develop these skills. To Bo, Mike, and Marvin, you guys are amazing. I enjoy watching y'all, but the competition is never over. I look forward to seeing you guys on Sundays. I'd like to start to thank with a few thank yous. I learned from previous winners, the first lesson is becoming a great quarterback. You got to thank your O-line first. Thank you guys for getting me here today in one piece. I know it wasn't easy. You know, I scramble around a lot, but, you know, I love you guys. To Coach Kelly, Coach Frank, Coach Denbrock, and Coach Sloan, and the rest of the LSU football staff, thank you for trusting in me to lead your team. I learned so much from you guys. You took a kid from the West Coast and brought me back down to the Bayou. I'm forever thankful. I want to thank to every single LSU fan for having my back. I never seen fans pouring their hearts into a team like LSU. I really wish I could have brought you back another championship, but that was my plan. But, you know, God has other plans for me. And when you get knocked down, get back up, keep smiling, and never give up on your dreams. I want to end a special thank you to Greg Brooks Jr. and his family. You gave me inspiration to continue on this journey of greatness and keep fighting. Thank you.
T-Mobile 5G home internet can leave you with slower speeds during its busiest hours. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Visit cox.com/5G home to learn more.
Wondering what retirement is like at St. James Place in Baton Rouge? Folks who live there say,
oh, are you in for a surprise?
You can be busy every day.
All day.
Social life is outstanding.
Wonderful parties.
There are courses in computer, art, music.
I feel blessed to live here.
You'll have to come see it. It's great.
And it might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a tour at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Wake up at Holiday Inn Express to a can't-miss breakfast that's free with every stay. Count on all the hot, fresh coffee you need and an incredible breakfast buffet that has something for everyone, like eggs, cinnamon rolls, and even hot, fresh pancakes with all the toppings you crave. Next time, do yourself a favor and stay at a Holiday Inn Express with a can't-miss breakfast that's free with every stay. So, when you wake up at Holiday Inn Express, you'll wake up happy. A part of IHG Hotels and Resorts.
Hi, this is Joe Helm with Helm Paint and Decorating. Happy to announce our new 4 locations in Baton Rouge. We are new to Baton Rouge, but not new to paint. We are a family-run business with over 50 years' experience, assisting customers with the best quality Benjamin Moore paint, supplies, and design services. We also offer free, fast delivery and expert color matching. Call or stop by any of our locations on Perkins, Jones Creek, Highland, or Choctaw. Or shop us online at helmpaint.com.
Helm Paint and Supply.
Helm, yeah.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
I'm Margot Robbie, and I play Bobby.
And I'm Ryan Gosling, and I play Ken.
Max is now the exclusive streaming home of Barbie.
So cool.
And the Max with Ads plan is included with your Cricket $60 unlimited plan at no additional cost. Log in with your Cricket username and password to experience Max on all your favorite devices.
This is the best day ever.
It is the best day ever.
Don't miss Barbie, now streaming on Max. Phone plan streams in standard definition. Programming subject to change. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
¿Por qué conformarte con una conexión de internet para tu hogar que compartes con usuarios de celular? Especialmente si esto puede causar que tu conexión sea lenta durante horas de mayor congestión. Mejor cámbiate a Cox Internet y obtén velocidades de descarga dos veces más rápidas que internet 5G residencial de T-Mobile durante horas pico. Visita cox.com/5G en casa para conocer más. T-Mobile prioriza a ciertos usuarios de T-Mobile sobre usuarios de internet residencial durante horas de congestión.
T-Mobile 5G home internet can leave you with slower speeds during its busiest hours. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Visit cox.com/5G home to learn more.